Yeah, good evening, everyone. Yeah, thanks, Pastor Cindy, for the introduction. Thank you all for the warm welcome to be with your community. So my name is Eugene. I serve with International Justice Mission Canada. And as Pastor Cindy introduced, IJM works worldwide to protect people from forms of violence, including human trafficking and also slavery, violence against women and children, and the police abuse of power. So in my role with IJM Canada, I have the privilege of serving our supporters and our church partners to raise awareness about our work, to raise funds for our mission, to mobilize people to pray for our work worldwide. And I had the honor of being with you last year, and it's really wonderful to be back. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak from the Word of God and to share about our mission at IJM. Thanks, Pastor Carson and the worship and music team for leading us in worshiping God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And Scripture tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So freedom. So tonight, we're free. We're free to gather. We're free to worship together in community. In our communities, children are free to get an education, pursue their dreams, free to come and go in a safe home where they're loved, where they're protected. And this is a luxury. And it's the way that the world can function when we do as Christ did when he said to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to set the oppressed free. But setting the captives free and to protect vulnerable people from violence, this isn't happening everywhere, not without following Jesus through our actions. So at IJM, that's our inspiration, is to join with Jesus in the work to bring freedom to those who are trapped in the oppression of slavery and violence. And we are privileged to engage in this mission together with the global church, knowing that our God is a God of justice. So let me introduce how it is that we do this through our work at IJM. We work together with authorities and our community leaders to respond to forms of violence like human trafficking, like violence against women and children. So for example, we'll work with police officers to provide trainings, and we'll work with justice system officials like prosecutors and judges. And then in these communities, we will work with the officials to rescue victims of violence. So this will be going into these dark places where slavery and violence are taking place so that we can rescue them. So this would be maybe factories or farms, fishing boats, or even homes where children might be being abused. And then after the survivors are rescued from these situations, we support their healing by providing therapy and counseling and skills training, because this advances their restoration. We want to see them healed and restored. And we work alongside the justice system to ensure that the people who did this, the people who are responsible, are held accountable. Because when people in the community see that there are consequences to doing injustice, to doing violence, this is actually what stops the cycle. When people see that there's consequences, they actually stop human trafficking, they stop committing violence. And it's doing this, which is how IJM has worked to bring freedom and justice to people in poverty for more than 25 years around the world. So I want to share a short video, and it highlights five impact highlights of IJM in this past year, and it shows some examples of the type of issues and the kind of casework that we address around the world.
In 2023, you helped IJM measurably reduce child sex trafficking by 78% in the Dominican Republic and conclude work in the region after a decade of successfully training local authorities to keep children safe in their country. Release the groundbreaking Scale of Harm study, accelerating the protection of children in the Philippines. This study revealed the truth about how many children are trafficked to produce new child sexual exploitation material, unleashing the urgency of governments and society to act. Expand survivor-driven impact worldwide. As the Global Survivor Network grew to include 28 chapters and 4,000 active members leading their communities toward lasting change. Become a leading voice against forced scamming, a new and fast-growing form of modern slavery, by helping remove, care for, and support identification for over 350 victims across Southeast Asia. And the work is just beginning. Host an international conference on human trafficking in Romania with the Romanian government to lead the global fight against cross-border human trafficking and trafficking facilitated by technology. Throughout 2023, you gave generously to make rescue, restoration, and protection possible on a global scale. After everything you helped accomplish in 2023, we can't wait to see what's in store for 2024.
So we're really grateful to be able to celebrate some of these successes, like we saw in the video when we were able to conclude the program in our work to fight sex trafficking in the Dominican Republic. And we're able to do this after running this program for 10 years because we have confidence that the local justice system, they'll continue to protect people from sex trafficking in the country. But we also know that around the world, there continue to be great needs. Like in the Philippines, where 500,000 children were trafficked to produce exploitation material. Or the millions of women and children worldwide who are victims of physical and sexual abuse. This is unacceptable. And that's why we continue in the mission. Now, seeking justice, I can say it's a challenging mission. And that's why we need to be reminded that the weight is not ours to bear. Is God's. And our global team at IJM, we're reminded of this every day. As part of our daily rhythms, every office for IJM around the world, we take 30 minutes every day to pray. We pray together. It brings us back to God each day, reminding us that we must rely on God's strength in this mission. So our offices around the world, we have a plaque or a sign, or it's written on the wall. And it says this, it says, God's weight, our work, Jesus' way. And it's a really important reminder. The weight of injustice is God's to bear, is not ours. The work to fight injustice is our mission. And we are to carry out this mission doing the work in Jesus' way. God's weight, our work, Jesus' way. So tonight, I want to look at doing justice Jesus' way and how we experience this through our mission at IJM. And I want to speak from Scripture, from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Let's hear the word of the Lord. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The word of the Lord. So this passage, it's a story that probably many of us know, might be one of Jesus' most famous stories. And from it, we can learn some things about what it looks like when we seek to do justice in Jesus' way. So Jesus tells the story about a man who gets attacked by robbers while on this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The 2 religious leaders see him pass by on the other side. Now, the text doesn't tell us why they did this. Maybe they were busy, didn't have time to stop. Or maybe they thought it was a dead body, and the religious laws would have said they couldn't touch the dead body because it would have made them unclean. Whatever the reason, these 2 religious leaders didn't stop. They didn't act when there was a victim of violence in front of them. But the Samaritan, a man from a different cultural background, a different religious background, he stops. He helps the victim. Jesus teaches that it was the Samaritan who was being a neighbor, even though the other 2 may have been people who were considered more religious. Now, when I hear the parable, I often think about the 2 leaders who didn't stop. Or I think about the Samaritan, who's the example of the neighbor who helps the man. But what about the man? Who's he? Well, this man is a victim. He's a victim of the sin of violence. Jesus says that when the robbers attack the man, they strip him of his clothes, they beat him, they leave him half dead. And that's how offensive and how unjust violence is. Violence is unjust because it takes away the good that God intends for that person. Violence is offensive because when you commit violence, you don't treat the other person as someone who bears the image of God. When the robbers strip the man of his clothes, they show no regard for his dignity. They leave him naked on the road. And then they beat him. They show no regard for his safety, physically abusing him. And then they leave him to die, showing no regard for his life or his existence at all. That's what happens when people commit violence. So when the priest and the Levite, they saw the victim and they passed by him, more concerned about what might happen to them if they approached him. So they avoided him. But the Samaritan did the opposite. He thought about what was happening to this victim and went to him to bring rescue. He bandages his wounds, bringing him to a place of safety. He cares for the man. He restores this victim of violence, which is possible when we do justice in Jesus' way. Now, in our mission, in our work at IJM, we have rescued victims and survivors who have endured a lot of violence. Like, for example, people who have been tricked and then exploited for labor. They're forced to work under violence and threats. And then when they tried to escape their abusers, they were chased. They were caught, they were brought back, and then as a punishment for trying to escape, they had their hands chopped off. We fought for children who have endured physical abuse, for women who have had their land stolen from them, which takes away their home and their livelihood. And when we learn of cases like this, IJM, we work together with local authorities to rescue these victims from these conditions and then support their survivors because we want to see them restored. Now, in the parable, when the Samaritan reaches the inn, we see that he asks the innkeeper to also help him to take care of this man. Yeah. And this tells me that when we do justice Jesus' way, we do this together in partnership. We do this in community. I like to think that maybe the innkeeper, he runs that inn there. He's more familiar with the area. Maybe he knows other people who can also help the victim. So when we engage in doing the work of justice, we don't need to do it alone. And as followers of Jesus, we do it together as his church, on mission with him to heal the suffering of the world. We work together in community to be even more effective. At IJM, we work in partnership with others in the mission because this helps us to increase the scale and the impact of our work. And it's how we're able to protect even more people from violence worldwide. This past February, my wife Hannah and I, we had the chance to visit IJM's field office in Guatemala, and we went with a group of our supporters. Now, in the Latin America region, IJM's work is to protect children and women from forms of violence. While we were there, we learned about an organization. It's called MOCVIN, and this stands for the Christian Movement Against Violence Against Children. So IJM is part of this group, and it includes other Christian organizations like Compassion and Kids Alive and the Bible Society of Guatemala. And what MOCVIN does is it works to protect children in Guatemala by strengthening the church to lead change that focuses on reducing violence. Now, one of the ways that we learned that what MOCVIN does is by providing resources to churches. So they showed us, for example, one of these booklet materials that they had made for Guatemalan churches so that they could provide education on how to prevent violence against children and how to support and advocate for survivors. So when we met with these members of MOCVIN, for me, I was really struck by how the impact is increased through partnerships and working together like this. All of these individual organizations that make up MOCVIN, they share experiences, they share best practices with each other, and they work in a way then that strengthens everyone and it improves access to justice in the country. When we do the work of justice together in community, it makes the community safer, bringing hope to people who need it. And this work, it comes at a cost, which tells us this: doing justice Jesus' way is costly. The Samaritan gave the innkeeper 2 denarii to cover expenses to take care of the victim. Well, how much is that? 1 denarius was the usual daily wage for a worker. So the Samaritan was committing at least 2 days of his wages to make sure that this man was taken care of. And he told the innkeeper he's prepared to come back to make sure that this man was cared for. And this shows us about how doing the work of justice, there's great generosity. And I'm really grateful to express thanks. We're so grateful to the community here at KEC for your generosity in this way. Thank you. Thank you for your great support of our work at IJM. And I encourage you to keep supporting your church, your partners, your ministries, your initiatives. Your generosity makes the kingdom of God more visible and more known locally here in the community and around the world. Thank you. So now, along with financial cost, perhaps the cost of doing justice is one in opportunity. Maybe you explore an educational or a career path that leads to important justice work that may be less lucrative. Or maybe the cost is in the commitment of your time. Before I joined the staff of IJM, I served as a volunteer with our team in South Asia. Hannah and I, we participated in IJM's internship program, and we took leave from our jobs for 1 year to support our work in this field office in the fight against human trafficking. So that for us, it was a commitment of our time, of our money, of our opportunity. But I can tell you that this experience, it was so worth it because it was so meaningful and so transformative to participate in the work of justice in this way. What we've learned in our experience at IJM is that it is indeed possible to bring rescue and to restore victims of violence. and we've been able to celebrate. We celebrate milestones when survivors have been healed and restored. And now some of these survivor leaders, they're involved in supporting and empowering others to protect other people from abuse. Some survivors have joined our staff at IJM so that they can use their experience to help bring rescue to others who are in need. So we're thankful to see that this restoration is possible for people to who experience violence, because this gives hope to us and it gives hope to communities for those who remain trapped under this oppression. So it's great. It's great that we can see this change, great that we can celebrate this restoration. But one thing that we've also seen is that we can see that this violence can actually be prevented from happening in the first place. It's like this. Imagine what it would be like if there were no robbers on the Jericho Road. So this road that Jesus describes in the parable between Jerusalem and Jericho was about 30 kilometers long. So that's like going from Richmond to North Van. And on this road along the way, it was surrounded by rocky walls and caves. So this route, it was known to be dangerous because robbers would have a lot of ways where they can hide or they can go escape into the desert. So when Jesus was telling the story, his audience, the people listening to him, would have known that he was referring to a road that was particularly dangerous. So what if the robbers, they couldn't do this? They couldn't get away with robbing people on the road. What if there was accountability for what they did? Then people would feel safer traveling on the road. In our mission and our work at IJM, that's what we want. We want people to be safe in their communities. And that's why in our work, we strengthen the justice systems to help protect people from violence. I'll tell you one more story of rescue and protection. It's about a new way for robbers to exploit people that we saw in the impact video, which IJM now is fighting in Southeast Asia. So it starts like this. You get a text message, you get a message in WhatsApp that says, hello. So this was a message that I got last year in June. And maybe you've received them too. They happen a lot. Maybe you got them today. So there's a lawyer in Boston named Susan. She received a message like this that she just ignored at first. And then when a follow-up message came, she texted back, sorry, wrong number. And then from there, it started a conversation between Susan and a man named Jimmy in Los Angeles. Now at this time, Susan was receiving treatments for terminal cancer, and she had recently separated from her husband. So Jimmy and Susan, they would just start having conversations, and the discussion, it eventually led to talking about investing and in cryptocurrency. Jimmy recommended to Susan to say, here's a website that you can use to make investments. Susan did that, and she started to see some profits. She started to invest some more. But when she tried to cash out and withdraw her money, the site told her about all these fees that she'd have to pay and the taxes that she'd be responsible for. And Susan had invested a large sum of money. But it turned out that none of this was true. The website that she was using to invest, it wasn't real. This whole operation was a scam. Susan was vulnerable. She was taken advantage of. And in the end, she was robbed. She was robbed of $2.5 million. Now, I share this story because I don't want you to be the victim of an investment scam. But I also want to ask this question. Well, who's Jimmy? Well, we don't know what happened to Jimmy. But what we do know is this. People like Jimmy may themselves be victims of violence and human trafficking. Thousands of people have been lured on social media that promises high-paying jobs in countries like Cambodia, Myanmar, Laos, and the Philippines. But these jobs aren't real. When these people get to these countries, they find out that this work turns out to be conducting these online scams, targeting victims around the world with fake investment or romance opportunities. That's what happened to Morris from Indonesia. Now, during the pandemic, Morris lost his job. In 2022, he saw this advertisement on Facebook for a marketing job in Cambodia, and he was excited, so he applied. He chatted online with the advertiser and through WhatsApp. So when he got this job offer, Morris was really excited. He accepted. The company even paid for Morris's flight, transportation, and his flight and his visa to Cambodia. When Morris got to Cambodia, he was picked up at the airport by a company and then brought to this compound with people from other countries. The guards took his passport, and then after that, Morris never left the compound. He found out really soon that the job wasn't as advertised. He had to work for 16 hours a day. He had to pretend to be a woman to create social media profiles and then use these profiles to scam people into making fraudulent investments with this company. The company would set targets for workers like Morris, and if they didn't meet the targets to sign up customers, they'd be punished. Morris would see that he'd have a salary cut. He saw his supervisor beating other people that he was working with because they didn't meet their targets and for making mistakes. Morris's experience is common for people that have been rescued from these forced scamming compounds. This is a satellite image of a place called KK Park. It's in Myanmar, and it's close to the border of Thailand. And it's notorious. It's known that these compounds have thousands of people working inside. And when news reports have investigated, they've detailed really abusive conditions and extreme violence against the workers. Or workers will get beaten, or they'll be kept in dark rooms as punishment, or they can be sold from one employer to another, trafficked to scam other people. So for Morris, well, he was uncomfortable with what he was being made to do, so he wanted to resign. But the employer asked him to first pay the cost of the visa that brought him to Cambodia. And they even asked Morris's family to bring that money, which of course they didn't have. So Morris just felt trapped without hope. Now, during their time at the compound, another worker was able to contact a relative, and this who reported then what was happening to IJM. IJM worked together with the Cambodian police. IJM has worked in Cambodia for years. We have a relationship with the authorities. And then the police attended this compound where they were able to locate and rescue Morris and eight other survivors of trafficking. And then IJM was able to support their return back home to Indonesia, where then Morris could be reunited with his family. Now the people who recruited Morris and the others to Cambodia, they were arrested and they were charged with human trafficking offenses. And then later that year, they went to trial. Morris and other survivors, they gave testimony in the case. These traffickers were found guilty, and they were sentenced to prison for what they did. This key trafficker was also ordered to pay compensation to the survivors. So the conviction of these traffickers, it means that they've been stopped from exploiting other people. So we can celebrate that Morris has received justice. The road is now safer for Morris and people in his community. So if you ever get a text message that might be a scam, of course, be careful. What happened to Susan in Boston, that was a terrible injustice. But I also ask you to remember that the person that's sending you that message, they may also be a victim of violence and of human trafficking who needs help. These experiences, the experiences of Susan, the experiences of Morris, they remind us. They remind us of the reality of injustice. It's unfair. It's offensive. It's unacceptable. And when we see this, can we just pass by on the other side? What should we do? May I invite you to consider these questions as we seek to do justice Jesus' way. Doing justice in Jesus' way, it restores victims of violence. So how do you respond when you hear about injustice and you hear about violence against vulnerable people? Do you look for ways to help to restore these victims? Justice Jesus' way is done in partnership. How can you engage in doing justice in community? What are some ways that you can participate as your family? as a small group, as your church. And Justice Jesus' way is costly. What is the work of justice costing you? Are there ways that you can commit your time, your resources, or your opportunity to do justice? At IJM, we want to do justice Jesus' way in partnership with the global church around the world. And as I shared, all of our offices worldwide have a time of daily prayer because God's strength sustains us. So I invite you to pray with us and to pray for us. Pray that we're not overcome by the weight of injustice and that we remember that this weight is God's to bear. Pray that more people will experience protection from violence in their communities. And pray that Jesus will sustain us as we do the work his way. I invite you to join us in prayer, and you can sign up here. This QR code will take you to our prayer partner page. You can receive updates and you can receive prayer requests. And there you can also sign up to receive IJM's Faith and Justice newsletter to stay connected with our work. And once again, I'm honored to thank you. Thank you for your partnership with us in the mission to make the world safer. So if you'd like to know more about IJM, how you can get involved, how you can support our mission, of course, I'd be delighted to connect more with you after our service today. Peace to you, brothers and sisters.